day. It was a very busy day for everyone. That we will get started right away. As is our procedure, we will begin with our shiur. And tonight, we have a special privilege. And it's almost. I say we are having a special privilege. And a special privilege that our own Rabbi Young consented that with God's help he was able to lead our shiur after so many, I think it's been two or three years carrying on the shiur. We invited Rabbi Young before, I want you to know, but somehow or other Rabbi Young is a busy man and never worked out. And we are very, very grateful indeed, Rabbi Young, not only to you, but to Hashem Yisborach, that he gives us the opportunity to hear a lesson in Hashulchan Aruch that we've been studying from our own Rabbi Young. Please.
Good evening. I'm delighted to have a mixed audience, because some of the things I found before coming here tonight may be of interest to the wives and through them to the husbands. You know, we have a new source of Hebrew literature. Some of you may have heard of it. Books before 1500 are called incunabula. That means the first books printed before the year 1500. What happened before? There were countless manuscripts. The Chinese were the only people who had printing much earlier. For the rest of mankind, they had them later. And so we depended to some extent on copies. And you may have heard some copies are perfect, some are imperfect. Some took liberties, some were gentle Ameha Aretz. And so many of our holy texts, Talmud, Rishonim, were the victims of careless copies. I give you just one example. Rashi in the Torah has a passage. On the passage, I translated briefly. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Veshalvo Kofso Olov Ritzo Sheyosev. Jacob wanted to live in peace, then there came to him the upset of Joseph. Well, that's stop. There is a curious passage in Rashi on that. Rashi says in our text, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Lau dai la tzadikim sheyeshuem olam habo, elo sheim rotzim afila olam hazeh. The tzadikim, the righteous people, are not satisfied with the fact that in 100 years they have olam habo, they want to have happiness also here. It didn't make sense. That isn't the spirit of Avinu Shebashamayim, of our Father who is in heaven. But there it was in Rashi. What could we do? We had to wait for Geniza. What is Geniza? By Jewish law, if any Sefer Kodosh, any sacred books, or any portion of it, any portion of the Sefer Torah, becomes weak and crumbling, you must not throw it away. You must put it in a certain place called Geniza. We have one like that on the third floor in the center too. In the last 1600 years, our holy books suffered as the Jewish people did. I don't want to go into details now. There were times when every Hebrew book was burned. There were other times when only books of the Talmud were burned, when books which were misinterpreted by Jewish Meshumodim, and when they were Geir or Nochri occurred, the scoundrel said to the Pope and to the cardinals, it means Christians. And so the books were burned, or they substitute another word for Geir and Nochri called Akum. Akum means Ovid Kachovim Masola. Why do I tell you all that? In addition to these wicked, deliberate enemies, we had careless copies. Now I tell you what happened. The original... Oh, one more thing. I don't know how many of you were in the Vatican. I was in 1957. I never had so much kinasino. I saw Hebrew books before 1500, bound in gold with jewels on top of it. They had raped them and robbed them from Jewish homes. I was furious until I discovered that my beloved teacher, Rabbi Rome Berliner of Berlin, published the first correct text of Rashi on the Torah. You know from what? From the text in the Vatican. The same people who robbed us of the books of the manuscript kept it. Now I tell you what the passage meant. Vikesh Yaakov Leshev Bishaibo. Jacob wanted to live in peace. Kopsa Olof Richter Sheyosef. Then the trouble of Joseph was. The original in Russia was Oma HaSoton. The Soton said, Laudai Lech Tzadikim She Yeshem Olam Mabo. The Tzadikim are not satisfied with having the future world. They have the world to come. One of the copies was too lazy to write Oma HaSoton, so he made it on a page. And the next man made it Oma HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You follow? I give a later on some other examples of how much we owe to the Geniza. And one in particular that I brought as a gift to my girlfriend, to the lady here. Ladies here, but I won't tell you until I come to them. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to do something which I've been trained to do. Whenever you write a text, discuss a text, get the basic meaning of the words you are using. There are five basic meanings for the Chevra Kedisha. The first is aninus. When I get the terrible news for the first day before the funeral is arranged, there is a deep sense. There is a deep sense of shock and let, but no public display. That's called aninus. Then comes the hespet. The hespet had two meanings. Or originally meant beating the breast in pain, an expression of profound unhappiness, of profound helplessness. Later on it changed, it became the name of an address at the funeral. The result of the Hespate was Bechio, crying. Then came Avelus, the period of mourning, and for the friends, Nichum, comfort, and another meaning too. The Chevra Kedisha, I'm not polite, throughout history was the elite of the Kehillah. Not everybody will accept it into the Chevra Kedisha. He had to be a living example of Judaism in the concrete. But the work of the Chevra Kedisha didn't start at the death. It started with Bikur Cholim. It was part of the obligation to visit the sick. And there is an example I'd like to quote you from the Gemara. There was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva who became very sick. And the other rabbis and the students were very busy. Rabbi Akiva nichnet levakra. Rabbi Akiva decided, I must visit him. Ubishvil shekibdo verifso, because he went in and made the room pleasant. Omala, the disciple said, Rabbi, Eche Yisoni, Rabbi, you have given me new life. Yosef Rabbi Akiva left the room of the student, the Dorash, and he said, Kol mi she'en mevake chaulim ki'ilo shofech domi. Anybody who doesn't visit a sick person almost kills him. Almost kills him. Because you can't imagine how much good one can do by visiting a sick person. If you don't mind, I have to give you a little piece of autobiography. Some of you will know the name I mentioned. One of your great colleagues, Dr. Greeby, his name was Dr. I.W. Hell. He was a chief physician of Beth Israel Hospital. I abused him dreadfully. I sent him shamosim, chasidim, rabonim, chazonim, and he treated them like a malach. One day I sent a Hasidic rabbi to him, you know French, I hope, and he came back and said, "Zu whom? Zu wem hat er mir geschickt? Das ist kein Doktor nicht." I said, "What?" He said, "Das ist a Malach Elohim, an angel of God." And then Dr. Held one day asked me for a favor. Would I go with him through the ward of Beth Israel Hospital? I said, I shall be very glad. And he gave me an unforgettable lesson. There was a man lying on the bed, hopeless, sick, like a candidate for Olam Haba. He said, "Moshe, you get out of the bed. You are cured. Get dressed and get out." The man looked at him as if he had come straight from a... He said, "What?" He said, "I told you to get out." The doctor and the nurse said, "You are well." Then he came to the next man and said, "Chaim, if you won't eat everything the nurse gives you, if you leave one crumb, you'll get into trouble with me." And the man, "All right, I'll do that." I had a very nervous secretary at that time, and I've been the chairman for ritual affairs at Berizal Hospital for many, many years. One day, she said to me, "Rabbi, you have a meeting of your board at 3 o'clock at Beth Israel." I said, "Sylvia, you're mistaken. It's 4 o'clock." She said, "Excuse me, it's 3 o'clock. I took a cab and I came down. It was 4 o'clock. What could I do for an hour? I decided to go to the ward. And there was a very pleasant Negro nurse. I said to her, tell me, he says, somebody here whom nobody visits, she said, yes, in that corner, a man with a beard, he hardly eats, nobody visits him, all day he's covered with a sheet. I can't talk to him. So I decided to go there. I went there and I said, Shalom Aleichem. Aleichem Shalom, you must believe me. It was a rabbi whom the Rabbonim Aid Society supported. He lived in East New York. They had no closets for the garments. They had nailed in the wall. His wife had half a dozen sickness. She couldn't visit him. His daughter was a secretary treasurer of a miserable grocery store. Nobody could visit him. After 10 minutes, we were discussing a passage of Gomorrah, and the Negro nurse came and said, what did you do to him? You gave him life. I said, I gave him a pill. She said, you mustn't do that. Excuse me. Without the doctor's permission. I said, not that type of a pill. That is big of holy. Shulchan Aruch says, even a gadol must go to a kotel. No man can say, I'm a scholar, I'm a great man, I'm a very busy man. He must go to visit the sick person. I ought to give you something which has come back to me more than once. Some of our modern young people, nice people, but they are uninformed. Said to me, isn't it terrible to cut a Creole? Isn't it dreadful to go to the cemetery and see father or mother going down? I said, no, my dear, it's a profound significance. It makes us accept the fact. It's very hard to accept the fact. But when you perform the Creole and accept God's judgment, and you see it come down, it will prevent you from sitting or lying on the couch of a psychiatrist. You won't develop all sorts of other difficulties. That is included in the fact. I come soon to the text, don't worry. The problem with the Hesped is you call it a Shkiva, you call it a Chayim. Whether that's meant to honor him or her who is gone, or him or her who is living and whom you want to help. Let me start the text. You have the text. Yes. By the by, you notice that there is a funny way in the numbering of the chapter. It ought to be Shin Mem Dalet. It is Shin Dalet Mem. Because Shin Mem Dalet may have been read as Shemad. And we do not want to have any such bad words in our sacred text. So we change it. We had a crayon kisif even in the Torah. Now let us read. Mitzvah gedolo, it's a great mitzvah, lehaspik al hameis, to utter the funeral address for somebody gone, kerohui, in a proper manner. Umitzvah, the form the mitzvah is performed, shiurim kaulo, that one can speak manner which will influence the pain and the feeling of those who are present. It should not be a kind of a ritual, ceremonial affair, but it's a friend who has gone, somebody who is close to us, somebody who shares with us ideas and principles, the Jewish way of life, the hope of survival. And to mention everything in his favor. But also lahafli spoke yosamidai, you must not exaggerate. You can praise a man or a woman for what they have been, for what they have done. When you exaggerate, you make it disagreeable, you make it curious. Elo maskirin midas tova shabau, you mention the good qualities of him or her, umosifim for him sas, you may add a little bit to it. Interesting is the commentary of the Torah Zohar. Why should you add a little bit? Why should you tell an untruth? If you add a bit, you don't tell the truth. It said, you don't understand. Every one of us likes to do good things. Occasionally, we would like to do more. We haven't got the chance. But the good intention of doing more is something that justifies praise. Rak shelo yafli, but don't go beyond what is right to exaggerate. But suppose im lo ho yavo midas tovas klal. Suppose there was a man without good qualities altogether. Lo yaskir oro. Let him not mention it. Vechokom, vechosid, when it's a man who was a scholar or a pious man, a devoted man, maskirin lohem chokmokom akasidusam. It's proper to mention to them, to mention about them their wisdom and their piety. You remember the prophet Micah, who in two lines, to my mind the most precious lines almost, I have no right to say that, you can't make a distinction, but some of the most precious lines of Tanakh. Higit lecho odomatau. God has told you what is good. Moshe Doroshimko. Asaus sedoko. To do justly. Ve ahavas chesed. Not merely to do kind things, but to love kind things. And then if you are just and you love to do kind things, don't boast about it. Atznei alech tzivaleecho. Be humble with thy God. V'chol hamaskir ani shelahoyo b'chlal. And anybody who invents good qualities where they were not present. How shemosib lahapli gyosa mitai al masho hoyo b'o, or he exaggerates qualities didn't possess, gaurim rola atzmo, he does wrong to himself, he becomes an inferior person, velomeis, in order to whom who is gone. Why? Because people will go out after this and say, well, it wasn't really so, and that will hurt the character and the memory of the person. Now, the shame shemas pidim ala noshim, just as we make a hepset ayin, hespet for men, kachmas pidim ala noshim, even though for women. And when he's podim, ben honoshim e kachomim, we make the same hespet over them. Here I want to tell you something which has given me a great deal of pleasure. first something which has caused me trouble, and then something which is giving me pleasure. I should be astonished if none of you ladies has ever been satisfied in a heart of hearts with Shalavasati Isho. My teacher, Professor Balina, Avraham Balina, suggested a long time ago we should say Shalavasati Ish. But that doesn't help. There's still when you say, thank God that you've made me a man, that still reflects by implication. I've endeavored to explain it in one manner, but then I want to tell you what I found of late. By Jewish law, we count a person's significance by the number of the mitzvahs he or she performed. We start with the Nochri, who was no mitzvah. We continue with the Eved, the slave, who was a number. Women, as you know, are free mikol mitzvah shes eman gromo. All mitzvahs depending on a definite time because they are busy at home, the education of the children. And so the husband said, thank God I have more mitzvahs than my wife. But the woman says, no, in quantity, the man may have more mitzvahs. In quality, my mitzvahs are greater. I'm responsible for the spirit of the home. I'm responsible for the education of the children. The mother's intuition is capable of giving much more. I'm saying that, not trying to be super modest as a husband, as a father. I'm convinced of it, that since she has known the baby before his birth and can observe everything, and to me the baby is still God's greatest wonder. I one day prayed Shacharit 10,800 feet in the air. I was surrounded by an ocean of snow-capped mountain peaks. Somebody come from Switzerland, we know what I mean, on the Gorla Grat. No comparison to the miracle of a baby, to the way it looks, to the way it moves, to the way it begins to recover. So the mother who has a chance to observe the child, to guide it gently, both by granting and by not granting, can say, sure, Sunday can sound off. I'm perfectly happy how God made me. I don't feel inferior. As a matter, I feel at least as good as a husband in the home and in the training of the children. But there comes something the other day which gave me tremendous pleasure. There is another passage in Pirkei Avos. It says, Al tarve sicho im isho. Do not talk too much with the wife. Ve'ishta omru kal v'choma ve'ishet chavera. Don't do it with your wife. How much less with your neighbor's wife. At the end of it is all sorts of unpleasant things. A friend of mine had a tremendous achus. He went to Russia and he got brought home to America 500 microfilms of Geniza, of the original text of the Mishnah and the Tosefta and the Gemara, published one big book on HaMishnah Begeniza and another book I just got, HaGemara Begeniza. And what do you think his quotation of Pirkei Avos reads? At least 1400 years old. Al tarve sicho im isho ve'eis nidoso. Do not talk to her when she's not in good shape. Do not talk to her during the period when she's not in complete control of her. You may upset her. You may hurt her. How much more your neighbor's wife? I think it's a gift you ought to all be grateful for. The author is Avrohom Yitzchok Katz, who is the president of Dropsy University, and you published just now that book. I'm delighted to convey it to you. No, it's no good. It's something that's difficult for us to appreciate. I saw that in Egypt. I hadn't seen it before. But in 1933, I paid a visit to Egypt to the pyramids on the way to Israel. And suddenly I came across a Mohammedan funeral. And on top of a wagon, there were sitting women who were howling. It was impossible to hear. Have a howling with screaming with pain. They were professional mekonenos, professional, how shall I call them, sires, groaners, something like that. We used to have them in Israel too. And this paragraph refers to them. Bamakom Sheregilin Lehaskir Mekonenos Lehaspi, in places where they have the custom. In Yemen, they had, according to some information, in southern Arabia, the custom to hire women to wail, yes, to wail, Chayuf lehaskir mekaunenot lehaspit al ishtov. In order to bring home the loss of the wife, he was obliged to do so. Ve'im la'rotso, indeed, the husband is mean enough, or for any other reason doesn't want to, go obio, umaskia, her husband, her father can come, hire these women, promote him a menubal kocha, and make the unworthy son-in-law pay the expense. Now comes another problem. Cotton, ben kamashoni mihidu, how old shall a little one be that he should be entitled to a hesped? Very important passage. Aniim b'nei chamisho. If it's a son of poor people and he's 5 years of age, we make a hesped for him. Ashirim, if they are well-to-do people, b'nei shisho. Then they are six. And the commentary says, the aniim itzarim yausami ashirim. Poor people have nothing but their children. They are more unhappy. The ashirim yeshaim simcha bevomo shalahem. Happy people, rich people, find a certain amount of happiness with their possessions. Well, I don't like any passage for itself. No passage in the Shulchan Aruch must be taken merely on its own method. I want to show you this is part of a Jewish principle. Care of the poor. Special consideration of the poor. To be sure that his self-respect, that his happiness is not interfered with. The Gemara in Moed Koton has a long series, what we must do with the Kvodon Shalashirim. When we bring, you know what Seudat Havra'ah is, the first Seudah when one comes home from the funeral, they one should, the friends should bring. And they used to bring it in silver vessels for the rich, and in cheaper vessels for the poor. And the poor people were ashamed. So the law is nothing but bring always in cheapest vessels. The same thing with regard to coffins. There used to be a custom for a millionaire, if there were such people, to have a silver or gold coffin. The poor man was afraid of it. As a matter, Gomorrah mentioned some people, and the Pinkers mentioned some people fled. They were ashamed to a father or mother buried in a miserable little coffin. So the law was all the coffins must be utterly simple. But they didn't refer merely to the coffins. It refers to something else. In the sanctuary of Jerusalem, we had a place called Lishkas Hashaim, called in English the Chamber of the Silent Ones. It was a place with a door, and the door had holes in it. From one side, the well-to-do came in and put their coins into the hole. From the other side, the respectable poor were encouraged to go in and take what they needed. The rich didn't know to whom they gave. The poor didn't know from whom they received. And something not of time of the Gomorrah, but of modern times, in the last 200 years, of all places in the world, in German communities. I've been trying for the last 4 months to get the MOCAW, the Pinkas, the community record, that will tell the whole story. I've asked Rabbi Schwab, Dr. Bieberfeld. I wrote yesterday to Professor Roth in Germany, in order to get the original source of this custom. What is it? Whenever there came Rachmono Litzlon, a Shiva, the Chevra Kadisha used to send 2 boxes to the house of the Shiva, one full with money, the other empty. The rich man filled the empty one. The poor man emptied the full one. The 2 boxes went back to the Chevra Kadisha, and the head of the Kadisha was bound by Shmuel not to say who gave and not to say who received. So that when you get here a statement that we take care with the Kevodon Shelanim, it is not a single paragraph in the Shulchan Aruch. It is part and parcel of a Jewish principle. I felt so proud when I read it. I felt I had an inner peace, and therefore I'm delighted to convey it to you.
Rabbi Yan. Rabbi Yan?
Again. Again, Kotam ben Kamushon and Yim Kishimas be the moral. How young or how old shall a little fellow be for a husband? Aniim, if he's a child of a poor family, from the age of 5 years. Ashirim, if he's a child of well to do, Bene Shisho. Bene Kamim, people of people too old. Thank you. Does my voice give me away?
Your voice makes you young.
Sorry. Bnei Zekanim, Bnei Anim, if people are too old to take care of their children, they marry late and they cannot attend to it, then they also, their children mean very much to them, especially if they come late, and their loss is more dreadful to them than to normal people. Our Tzidu Kadin and Kaddish, Omni Martinov, Misha Obro Oro, Shoshu Yahu. After 30 days, he said, Siddur Kadin, accepting God's judgment, sometimes Behada captured the Rachmono, the mystery, and Kaddish. I don't have to tell you what the Kaddish means. It is not a mystic formula. It is not a phrase to benefit the one who has gone to his eternal rest. It's a declaration of intention on the part of the living. The most important words are Iskadal ve'iskadash me'erabo. What my father, my mother, my brother, my sister have endeavored to do, Kiddush Hashem to their life, I as a mourner accept it upon myself. And that is the only way in which one can get Nichum. What does Nichum mean? Again, two words. When we come, we learn that later on in here, when we come to the house of mourning, normally we shouldn't start talking. We should let them talk to us. And then we endeavor to give them comfort, to tell them that we are all bound to go, to tell them to be grateful that suffering is over. But that is not the full meaning. In the Torah, the word Nachim has two meanings. One is to comfort. The other is change of mind. That means we tell the person, the mourner, think of the good, of the beautiful thing your father or mother, brother or sister have meant to you. Don't think only of your bereavement. Think what a privilege it is. The other day, a lovely young woman who has had all sorts of sorrows, not a member of a center, but nevertheless a very fine young woman, came to me and said, Rabbi, there's only one thing left to me in my life. I said, what is it, my dear? She said, my family, my daddy, my mother, my children. Everything else has turned against me. But when I think of them, I thank God every minute for what I have. This is the other part of Nichum, the change of mind, not merely the sense of great bereavement, but the feeling of profound gratitude for what it has meant. More than once have I thought, if we have 6 friends in this world, genuine friends, we are profoundly rich. But from home, if we are wise enough, we can take a kind of inner happiness which nothing whatsoever can remove. I don't like to tell you this story, but it happened, and you may come across something similar. I lectured at Columbia on love. You may have heard the word L-O-V-E. And I had a nice audience. Among them was a Presbyterian minister whom I met when we were lecturing together with Kilpatrick in Massachusetts at the college. I lectured on love. And next day, they were very polite to me, more polite than I like. Next day, a young woman called me up. I said, it was the most marvelous lecture. I said, thank you, I heard too much of it. She said, it isn't that. I must talk to you. And she began to howl on the phone. I looked at my calendar. I had promised my wife as an exception to come home in time for dinner. So I said to her, I can give you 10 minutes. She said, I'd be very grateful. She came over. She sat down. She said, it was wonderful for you to grant me this time. And since she began to cry, I couldn't take it. I said, look, my dear, if I'm to help you, you have to control yourself. He said, please let me cry for 1 minute. I let her cry for 1 minute. Then she told me the following story. You see how it comes into this paragraph. She said, I lost my father 15 years ago. My mother is trying all the time to spoil me. She brings me unnecessary...